Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Happy Easter, everyone. For my inspiration this year for the Easter message, I looked to American theologian, one of my favorites, Howard Thurman, and today prayer chaplain Barbara Robinson will share with us a reading of his that speaks to our growing understanding of the power of Easter.
The Growing Edge, from Meditations of the Heart by Howard Thurman. Look well to the growing edge. All around us, worlds are dying and new worlds are being born. All around us, life is dying and life is being born. The fruit ripens on the tree. The roots are silently at work in the darkness of the earth against a time when there shall be new leaves, new fresh blossoms, green fruit. Such is the growing edge. It is the extra breath from the exhausted lung. One more thing to try when all else has failed. The upward reach of life when weariness closes in upon all endeavor. This is the basis of hope in moments of despair. The incentive to carry on when times are out of joint and men have lost their reason. The source of confidence when worlds crash and dreams whiten to ash. The birth of the child, life's most dramatic answer to death. This is the growing edge incarnate. Look well to the growing edge.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. It's been such a blessing this weekend to have the engagement of our prayer chaplain ministry from Maundy Thursday service, Good Friday service, Holy Saturday silent retreat, the sunrise service this morning, and today's service. So thank you, prayer chaplains, for always holding the high watch for what is possible at Unity of Fairfax and what is possible in the world. And really, that's what the Easter story is about, isn't it? What is possible? Going from something that is impossible to realizing that I'm possible, that there is no limitation, that the power and presence of Spirit within cannot overcome. That's the richness of the story, reminding us there is always hope. There is always a possibility. There is always a potential, and not to give up on that. All the stories that we have in the Gospels around Easter are a reminder that the possible, anything that is impossible can be shattered if we believe, if we have faith, if we trust in the power and presence of the Almighty in us and in the world to do the thing that we thought was impossible. You know, it's peculiar. I look at my life today and I look at this thing, which when I was born was just a glimmer in somebody's eye, or 3D printers, or the medical breakthroughs that have happened in my lifetime and in yours as well, people being healed, people getting new parts, things like that, that not too long ago were impossible. So this Easter story about the impossible raising from the dead should remind us that, wait a minute, that's not so impossible, is it? Anything is possible. So what is the growing edge of Easter? The four Gospels each recount the story of Easter. But the one I want to look at today is actually the shortest one. Because in some way, shape, form, it reminds me, and I hope it reminds you, that the import of the story relates to its impact and its imperative. And by that, I say impact. Where did that land with me? And the imperative, what does that call me to do? What does this challenge me to overcome? What does this call me to grow into where I may have felt limited before? So let's look at the story as it is recounted in Mark. And you'll be happy to know it's also the shortest one. So just a few verses. We'll be done and we'll be out of here by 5 o'clock, I promise. And this is what it said, Mark chapter 16, verses 1-8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. End of story. And in fact, that is the original ending to the Gospel of Matthew. That's it. If you'll look in your Bible, you'll see that's where it ends. And then you'll see a little note right after that. And it says the next ending of Mark. And there's another sentence. And then you'll see below that an additional ending. And it's a little bit longer. What do we do with this? What do we make this mean? Or do we make it mean anything at all? This very abrupt ending. What happened? It's almost like a cliffhanger. Did anybody ever binge watch a series or have a favorite TV show? And you remember that they're always going to lead up to something very enormously important at the last show of the season. And then they leave you hanging. So you'll come back. Now, this was very interesting. So historically, this happened as well. We know that the authors of the book of Matthew and Luke had Mark in front of them. And we know that because 90% of the book of Mark is repeated word for word in those two other gospels. Matthew added some more detail to flesh it out a little bit. And then Luke added some more detail. And then the book of John, the fourth of the gospel, has several chapters related to what happened next. It's almost like playing telephone. Like if I told Rick Hartley something and he'd passed it to Anita, passed it to Carol, passed it to Sandy. By the time we got to Hope, no telling what the story would be. And I say that kind of in jest, but to highlight something that's really important for us as human beings. We don't like, maybe I'm just generalizing inappropriately, we don't like ambiguity. We want to know what happened. So if we look at this first ending of Mark, well, what happened? Was he raised bodily and go on to Galilee and meet the other disciples? Was he raised completely spiritually and moved on? The absolute answer to both of these questions is yes. It's whatever you want it to be. I wonder if part of the wisdom of the gospel writer was to say to the people who would hear these stories, remember, less than 10% of the population at the time was literate, was to tell the people who were hearing these stories, make your own ending. You get to decide how the story ends. You get to decide how the imperative, how the Spirit of God in the story made manifest afterwards. It's like in our own lives when we go through our Good Friday experiences. You know what I'm talking about? We talked about this last week a little bit, and we definitely talked about it on Good Friday, when everything goes wrong. When your body rebels against you, your loved ones rebel against you, the world rebels against you, and you're at your rock bottom. I know some of you have been there before. Maybe I'm, again, the only one. What happens next? You see, the story says He was raised, just like all of us have been raised in some way, shape, form. We got through it. If we were to swap stories and said to one another, hey, what's the worst thing you've lived through? Well, could be somebody's living through it right now. Or it could be you could recount a story or a number of stories. And you got through it. The stone of your life was rolled away. And that either let you out of the circumstance or allowed love to come into the circumstance. There was a flow of energy happening. You get to decide what it means. Now, it's interesting to look at that first story and then see how they evolved. And any and every interpretation that fills your heart and gives you meaning and allows you to live your best life and be the best person you can be and co-create a world that works for everyone, that's the right one. I'm not worried about getting orthodoxy correct. Because what we believe to be true is our growing edge. What we are willing to believe is possible is our growing edge. Our capacity to love is our growing edge. What the gospel writers were endeavoring to recount is that there was something so special about the ministry of Jesus that it could overcome death. They were looking at a symbol. What is the worst thing that could ever happen to somebody? Death, and a very violent, awful, God-awful death that could be overcome. If we look at that as a symbol of all the awfulness, and if we see it was possible for him, then it's true for us. I mean, didn't he say, wasn't it recorded, greater things than these you shall do? Wake up, people. Interestingly enough, that story in Mark is not the earliest version of what happened. So scholars can pretty much tell by using source-informed criticism, or scholastic terms, that the earliest Christian writings to be written, or at least those about Jesus or about the Christian experience as we know it today, were written by Paul. And he says something very different about the story of the crucifixion and resurrection. And it's very short, but it's very powerful. And he says this in 1 Corinthians, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures," and there's a whole interpretation we could do about that, I'm going to pass on that right now, "and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me." What do we do with that? What's he saying? Who are these 500 people? Now, interestingly enough, if you've studied different languages or if you speak more than one language, you understand and know that some languages have different verb tenses that other languages don't have. Some languages will phrase things one way that doesn't exactly translate into another language. And that's part of what's going on here, because in the original Greek, the word appeared, you know, he also appeared to me, is written as optonomai, which means he allowed himself to be seen or was seen for the benefit of. And it wasn't, so what we're saying is it wasn't necessarily seeing, like I see this candle, I see this microphone, I saw the mics that didn't work. We all saw that together, right? But he's talking about insight. And here's the way I explain this in English. Have you ever said to somebody, "I see what you're saying. I see what you mean." You can't see the words. You can understand what's going on. You can feel them. I see what you mean. Insight. We're talking about the difference between sight and insight. So my growing edge this year, leaning into this story, which might be different next year, that's how spirit moves. We grow, we learn new things, we incorporate without needing to be right. We're just developing, as we sometimes say in some circles, ours is a movement of progress, not perfection. So I want to progress in my understanding of the power of God in my life. So what I understand is that these 500 people all had an insight because they were hearing about the ministry of Jesus and what it was about and what it meant. And they got it. There could be the kingdom right here. In fact, Jesus said it is right here. And what is the kingdom? The kingdom he kept talking about was the kingdom where we love one another, even as I have loved you, to use his own words. Where we invite everybody to the table, where women and children and the marginalized people are invited in and treated as equals and welcome. Yes, even the Romans, that nobody liked, because they were the domineering power at the time, following the Greeks who were before them. Everybody can live as one. We are all here to nurture one another. Whatever you have done to the least of these, Matthew 25, read it. You have done unto me. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Go and do likewise. That's the sort of insight that I believe they had. He has been seen for the benefit of us all. We have seen a vision and captured it that says this world is big enough for all of us and we don't have to agree on everything, but we can respect one another. We can care for one another. We can treat one another's children as our own because they matter, and we can love this earth because without it, we got problems. And we must. We can overcome the consciousness of death, which ultimately is the experience of separation, the lack of flow. That's not so impossible. You know, I have this picture of my great niece. Jamie Dean was taken, her parents took her to New York and they went to Coney Island and they took her to the beach and she had never seen a beach before. She had never seen anything so big and enormous. And there's just this look of surprise and amazement. You see, when I think about the kingdom as Jesus taught, that's the look I feel. Yeah, that's possible. And yes, we can look around us and we can see all the various and sundry ways, the things that appear to be against us or against that consciousness. And you know what? That stone gets rolled away every time we say, that doesn't apply to me. That stone gets rolled away every time we engage in any sort of act of kindness or willingness to understand somebody else's experience. And even if we don't understand, to give sacred and holy witness and say, thank you for telling me. I did not know that. I might not be able to feel it, but I honor you and thank you for telling me. I didn't know. Stones get rolled away. Stones get rolled away. That's the ending of the story I want to have. And that's the story, ending of the story I'm going to work towards. So I'm grateful that Mark did not end the story, but left me to end it, to see where the risen Christ shows up in the world and in me. And what can that mean? How can that make a difference? For the last few years, I've ended my Easter message with a reading from Reverend Victoria Weinstein entitled, Being the Resurrection. and I will do it again this year, because I believe she has captured the essence of Easter in a way that is relevant and very 21st century. You know, and it's not about sin. Sin is just simply an acronym, which means self-induced nonsense. So when we awaken to the power of Christ who saves us from our sin, we are allowed to be free from self-induced nonsense or even exterior-induced nonsense, so that we can get back to the work of co-creating a world that works for everyone. So this is the reading. The stone has got to be rolled back from the tomb again and again every year. Roll up your sleeves. He's not coming back, you know. He's not coming back unless it is we who rise for him. We who lay healing hands on the reviled and the rejected like he did on his behalf. We who rage for righteousness in his insistent voice. We who love the sinner, even knowing that the sinner is no further off than our own heartbeat. He will not be back to join us at the table to share God's extravagant banquet, God's love feast. All and are invited, come as you are. And so it is you and I who must feast for him, must say the grace and break the bread and pass it to the left and dish up the broiled fish or pour the wine and pass it to the right and treat each other so tenderly as though just this morning she or he made the personal effort to make it back from heaven or from hell, but certainly from death, to be by our side. Because what if by some miracle, and why not a miracle, he did come back? Wouldn't he want to see us like this? Wouldn't it be a miracle to live for just one day so that if he did by some amazing feat come riding into town, he could take a look around and say, this is what I meant. And we could say, it took us a long time, but we finally figured it out. Oh, friends, let us live to make it so. You are the resurrection and the life. Happy Easter. Peace be with you.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.